The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
We're talking news, pickups, two-star pitchers, and a little rival fantasy here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. We are brought to you by Vivid Seats and Rival Fantasy. I'm Clay Link, here with Todd Zola, FSWA Hall of Famer, Todd Zola, that is. Great to be back on with you, Todd. I enjoyed a little time away last week, and hope you're doing well. What's new with you?
Yeah, I'm glad you well-deserved time off, as they say. I'm glad you were able to get away, see some friends. We scuffled by without you. We managed to get through. No, it was fun. We had Brian Enkern, aka Casey Bubba, helping out. It was a good time. Missed you on the network. You missed. I actually got to sit in for you on Saturday on SXM Fantasy, interviewing Bob Kendrick from the Hall of Fame. Negro League Hall of Fame and et cetera. And that was kind of a fanboy moment for me. So
Cool that you were able to do that.
Sorry you had to miss it that you were away, but I'm glad that I was the one to be able to not embarrass the station asking him the questions that I did.
That seems like a cool thing for you to do. I got to do a little something cool. I did meet up with some friends and then we drove to Oshkosh and I got to meet pro wrestling legend, the narcissist Lex Luger. Very nice guy. Actually, my paint pen that I brought for him to use to sign something bled all over his finger. And I
felt bad. And from the pictures I've seen,
wipe it off.
Pictures I've seen, he's like half the man he used to be.
Yeah, he's, you know, age has caught up to Lex, but he was very nice. And he still got a beautiful, beautiful signature. And that was just kind of cool.
Why not?
You know, why the hell not? Meet a wrestling legend. But yeah, I really appreciate you taking the show last week and talking a little rival again. We'll be talking some rival fantasy, taking over under on tonight's point projections on certain guys. Todd, though, big news out of Philadelphia in that Bryce Harper could be back as soon as the first weekend of May. So could be back on Cinco de Mayo that weekend. April or May 5th, rather. During draft season, it was a lot of, maybe June, but probably July. Does this kind of scare you a little bit with him making such a fast return, or you just kind of trust that Harper will be Harper at the plate, even if he rushes back?
I'm not worried. We've talked about this because this kind of fascinates me. I'm not worried about Harper at the plate. It's Harper sliding. That's the concern, diving back to first, sliding into second. And they're Dr. Neil Atrache, he's on top of it. And if the doc says you're good to go, then you're going to be good to go. And I am okay with that. Now, we can discuss, will he have his timing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You discuss that with anybody of that ilk. It certainly didn't hurt Shohei when he came back or the year that he played after TJS that he hit and didn't pitch. He still hit that year. So maybe it's a slow getting started. But yeah, I'm going to trust the docs on this, that they're heeding to their word.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't think they would rush him back if there were any like major concerns. So I guess you just do got to trust the Phillies and their staff. And what a windfall that'll be for those who took the chance on Harper. I mean, yeah, getting him back 2 months almost sooner than expected.
It's a question.
I think that would be the quickest return from such a
procedure. Yeah, absolutely. Tony Womack. I have a premonition that Eric Halterman's going to mention that on tomorrow's MLB Network radio show.
I saw that tweet too. Matt Gelb, maybe from the Athletic.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, this would be the quickest return ever from Tommy John. So we'll see.
There's a question in the chat about this. Is this going to hurt Brandon Marsh? Marsh can play center field. I think they're going to find a way to keep Marsh's bat in the glove in the lineup, if you know, tongue in cheek.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about Harper playing some first base. So I don't know that it's going to hurt Marsh a ton. I know that, you know, you don't want Nick Castellanos in the outfield and Schwarber. You'd rather have one of those guys DHing, and if Harper's DHing, you can't do that. But especially with Philly starting out, don't you think they need to keep Marsh in center field?
Yeah, I think with a guy who can play center field and has just been so hot like this, for a team that's had so many injuries, I wouldn't really worry about his playing time.
Yeah, right.
Harper, just giving him play up the middle like that in the outfield. And
yeah, yeah.
You're going to probably need him, I would think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon Marsh has done a lot of good things, and
yeah,
I think they will ride him as long as he's hot. This whole Max Scherzer situation is annoying for me. It's, I have him in a few leagues and ejected for having rosin on his glove, and now the 10-game suspension. He has dropped his appeal, so he just figured, why appeal to Major League Baseball? It's not going to be an independent arbiter, so he's just going to do what the Mets are requesting and drop that appeal. Does this kind of feel like a guy kind of grasping at straws a little bit? It doesn't feel like Scherzer should have to, but I know there's been some talk about him maybe battling the pitch clock and maybe having some fatigue issues, having to speed things up on the mound.
I don't know. I wrote a little bit about this in a Todd's Takes that'll be up in a little while. I mean, there's no, you know, we don't need to reiterate everything Scherzer said and Boris said and the umpire said. I think if people listen to this podcast, they have a feel for it. I just, my issue with it is, it's almost because Phil Cuzzy was saying, because I said so, you know, if he was asked, it's not a court of law. I'll save the dumb joke that I made for the piece for those that want to read it. I may or may not have mentioned Mike Ross from the show Suits, but to me, if this were to go to some kind of a official court and they would have asked Cuzzy, all right, if it wasn't resin, what was it? I don't know. And if it's, I don't know, then why is he, you know, why is he thrown out and suspended? It's as sticky as it's ever been. Well, that's not a reason. So now you bring in all the stuff you were alluding to, the conspiracy theories that Scherzer was, I said I wasn't going to rehash, so here I am rehashing. Scherzer voted no against the CBA, things of that nature. Is this just, you know, payback for that? I kind of can't believe it. Why do you drop it? If you're innocent, why do you drop it so quickly? The club wanted just to get it over with, et cetera. He was toying with people with the time clock in preseason exhibition. Mm-hmm. Our friend Ron Chandler was telling stories because he has Mets season tickets to the exhibition games. And Scherzer would, like, sometimes he would wait till just a second before it expired and he'd throw. Other times, the second it hit 8 seconds and the batter looked at him, he was pitching. It was like he was toying with hitters. So the fact that he's potentially having issues with the clock, I find a little bit weird, if you will.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of thought that he would almost benefit from the clock, just being able to kind of rush hitters and just kind of bully guys by by rushing things, but it seems like maybe he actually could use some time to bounce back between pitches, and that maybe it's actually going the other way for Scherzer specifically. Perhaps.
Maybe that's what it is. It's, you know, the effort that you're using in spring training, he was able to do that sort of thing, and he wasn't, you know, you're not pitching far, as far in a game. So I think Scherzer will be fine. I'm not happy that that it's 10 days. It's going to, you know, missing. You're going to miss a start regardless, and, you know, you could play around it. He's going to be out for 10 days. You know, would he have gotten hurt and potentially missed some games anyway? And in the end of the year, you're going to get the same number if he doesn't happen to get hurt? Probably, because I think you expected, 26, 27 starts from Scherzer. You're still probably going to get close to that if he doesn't get hurt.
You know? Yeah, just an annoying situation here because you're going to have to swap him out next week, obviously, and then you had the short start this week. So you've essentially got 2 weeks of his season just wiped out. Yeah. You got 1 week where he's in your lineup. So it's just annoying. By the way, just within the last half hour, we've gotten word that Chris Bubich of the Royals will undergo Tommy John surgery. That according to Ann Rogers of MLB.com. So that's a huge blow, especially for those who for Bubich especially, but for those who shelled out Fab, that's a big setback. And we're going to have to see what the Royals do to replace him. But you know, people were excited about Bubich after the first start or two, but he will be out for at least a calendar year, probably more like 16 months. Real quick, go over the Fab pickups from the staff league. James shelled out 43 out of 100 for Mason Miller. A pretty strong endorsement on the fireballer. I wouldn't expect to get him if that's going to be the going price this weekend, but James's endorsement carries a lot of weight, and I think a lot of people will be pretty excited about Mason Miller.
That's both a performance and confidence that he'll stay in the rotation bit, right? I mean, you're not getting that much if you don't think you're going to get a season's worth of numbers.
Brett Beatty picked up for 37. It seems like they're kind of platooning him and Eduardo Escobar, so that may be, at least for the time being, it seems like there may be a cap on Brett Beatty's playing time.
I think the time being is the key.
Yeah, I know Escobar is like a beloved teammate, but that may be just the move they have to make.
You can be beloved from utility role.
Maybe. That's a good point. Zachary Neto, strange situation here. 2022 pick that they're just saying, hey, this is our last year with Ohtani. Let's throw everything at the wall. And I feel like this kid has an uphill battle. He goes for 19. They've thrown him right away to the Wolves in the leadoff spot. I just think, given the lack of experience, it's going to be hard for him to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I saw him over the weekend, a series in Fenway. And he didn't look overmatched, but he's still, the numbers aren't there, the start's not there. I think they've dropped him down in the order a bit, maybe not, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else, but if they haven't, it's coming.
Yeah, this team is kind of, I mean, that's just not what you do. You don't draft a guy and then expedite him.
He's hit 8 and 9th the last, since the 18th. So since they left Fenway, since they started playing the Yankees, the Angels, Neto's been 8th and 9th.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yes, I know he was up there initially, but probably more suitable for the kid.
Absolutely was.
I would think. I picked up Jake Berger for 8. I know that there's, you know, some playing time questions, but he's been raking. And look, we have two utils in this league, and I was starting a Nelson Cruz, so he's an upgrade there for me. Brad Boxberger for 9, and that was a straight swap with Michael Fulmer. So it seems like Fulmer's pitching his way out of the job and will probably be a drop in a lot of leagues this weekend.
Gave up that game walk-off home run. Was it last night or the night before?
He gave up the grand slam, I think, to Outman yesterday.
That's what it was, yeah. Yep. And as I posted on Twitter, I'm taking the early L on James Outman.
And he's been out of this world. We'll see. I mean, he's striking out a ton.
Yeah. So but even so, you know what? Him, even with the strikeouts, I'm still taking the L.
Yeah, fair enough. Taylor Walls has picked up. He's been hot, but Man, that's going to be hard to sustain. Tanner Bibee was picked up for two. I picked up Gavin Williams for a buck as a stash, and Bibee and Williams. I mean, Bibee's a triple A, Williams is a double A, but I feel like both could be in the Guardians rotation at some point before too long.
And you don't have a rule about having to play them like Tout Wars does. So nope. You just basically, like you said, stash them on reserve. So that's interesting.
And my drop for Williams was Scott McGuff. Not really any reason to hold on to him, right?
You know what? If he starts to close in July, it was a mistake to hold him until then. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, you pick him back up if he starts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a possible outcome is for McGuff to pitch well in a lower leverage role and close at some point, but it's not something you hold on to.
Yeah, and Shade Langeliers was picked up. The drop there was Francisco Alvarez, so it seems like that ship has already sailed for fantasy, and people are already souring and ready to move on just because of the playing time
situation. I think it depends on your scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hurting at the spot, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's completely contextual.
I'm with you there. Well, anybody else on your mind for pickups this weekend?
I haven't even done my playing. Usually I'm going to start to do my playing time run through on Thursday nights. So I'll have an answer for you. I have not done that yet this week. I'm going to do that a little bit later. I was writing up a Todd's takes last night, so I didn't get to do this, but.
Oh, good. I put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Cause normally I will have an answer, but now I get to pimp Todd's takes instead. No, I'm not sure yet. I probably will be thinking about Miller, but I don't know how all in I will be on a player of that ilk. You know, someone who I may think about if I need some speed is Duran Duran. And I know, call me a Red Sox homer. He looks like a different player. I don't think he's going to play every day, but I think he's going to play enough that you can spot him in there if you need some speed. I think he'll eventually start to run. And he is someone that I might be looking at more of an upgrade to my bench than someone I'm rushing to put in. I mean, I got Edward Olivares in a couple places. So, you know, I think I'm going to get rid of Kyle Stowers in a couple places. So I may be looking for him as an upgrade.
The Hart Foundation in the chat mentioned Matt Mervis, and he was picked up in the Stake League, so that's definitely a name to keep in mind. He's been hot down at AAA Iowa.
Yeah.
It was a $10 ad, so yeah, somebody was pretty excited to grab him. A couple other names just to throw out there: Brian Rocchio.
I don't know how much he'll be up
for Cleveland.
Yeah, don't know how long he'll be up.
Pavin Smith, Colin Ray has been pitching pretty well for the Brewers. Nick Martinez was dropped and then picked up again for two. He had a nice outing this week. Drew Smyly for two. Ellie De La Cruz was picked up, but I have a hard time seeing him play anytime soon.
Who's that?
Ellie De La Cruz.
Okay, yeah.
That's a stretch for me.
Yeah, Yuri Perez might not be with the Marlins with Rogers. Strained forearm or whatever they're calling it there, which sometimes a precursor to something named after an old left-handed pitcher. But So he is someone that we may see at some point, Yuri Perez.
Yeah, he's what, 20 years old, but he's really got electric. Yeah.
Miami has some guys ahead of him, maybe. But, yeah, I guess the key.
Trevor Rogers is hurt now.
Yeah, that's what we're saying, yeah. With a strained forearm. So that that could be the opening.
Well, great stuff there. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a new sponsor in Rival Fantasy, and we'll take some time now to talk a little Rival Fantasy. We appreciate their sponsorship, and I just saw that they changed their scoring system a little bit. So if you're familiar with the DraftKings scoring system, Rival may be more palatable, just more easily digestible for you at the start, and we'll give some of our picks here. But you have a little bit more experience playing Rival than I do. How are you enjoying your experience on Rival Fantasy so far,
Todd? Well, I won the bet that I talked about last week with Bubba. The scoring, we had a whole conversation about how the scoring for pitching does not include strikeouts therefore, we both agreed that you just kind of look for the guy that's you think is going to get a win, and he's going to be over the points. And now it's, I still personally am more comfortable when it's an over. And that there's several different games on Rival, and over the course of the year, Clay and I will get into some of the other ones. But right now we're playing the fantasy book where you pick 2, 3, 4 players.
Yep.
And you choose over under a projected number of fantasy points. And as Clay alluded to, it's now basically the DraftKings scoring. And so I'm curious, to be honest. I put a bet in last night with the old scoring. I'm wondering if it's going to if it'll carry over to today. It was with Julio Urias and mental block over who my other pitcher was, but I'll look it up. But the points were to me very very it was very a very palatable bet or try anyway. But I was, as we were talking off air, it's like whenever I do these and Urias could blow it in the afternoon and I could, I would have nothing to root for it in the evening. But the thing is, I could put in two more. I could put in another try if I wanted to in the evening. And if Urias doesn't do it and I want something to root for in the evening game. So anyway, but Urias is one of the two pitchers, and Aaron Nola, of course. Aaron Nola is my other choice for tonight. I don't think he's as bad as he's pitched. Colorado at home, one of my rules of thumb. I'm saying of thumb because there's always exceptions when I do things of this nature, over unders or props. I prefer players at home. I just do. You get a natural built-in advantage. So Aaron Nola's at home against Colorado. Urias is actually on the road, so there's an exception already in Wrigley Field this afternoon. It would be a little bit temperate with the winds blowing in. At least that's the report last night. So I thought that Urias was a good choice for winning the game against the Cubs today.
The over-under on Urias' point total on Rival is 21.49 fantasy points, and for Nola it's 21.49 as well. So good choices there, I'd say. Yeah, this is a fun game that they provide. Again, we're doing the fantasy book section of Rival and some other over-unders for tonight. Zach Gallen at 20.59 fantasy points.
Yeah,
that against San Diego is kind of tough, but I kind of like the over there. Although my number one pick on the slate for tonight is actually going to be Alek Manoah. Look, I know I'm just digging my heels in and being stubborn here, but when he has a lower over-under than a guy like Trevor Williams, I mean, come on, I think we need to give Alek Manoah a little bit more benefit of the doubt and, give him a little bit of a pass for what he's done so far. I think even though it is against the Yankees, I think this is a nice opportunity to get in at a low, low point projection.
What is
14.28.
Because
14.28.
Well, now we're at the point, not at the point, the new scoring heavily weighs innings and strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been his downfall this year. That's true. He's not fanning people and getting knocked out of games. So if it's the DraftKings scoring, I mean, if you would take, I can see taking Manoah as a GPP starter because you're going to get low rostership. But I don't love that as an over-under because I think that there's so many pathways to the under. That I don't love it in this context where you need to get two or three right. If you get one wrong, you're done. I don't love it in this context. I'm not going to take him and choose the under either. I don't feel strongly either way. Against the Yankees that he's going to go, five innings with five Ks, which is what you'll need to get that. Even at 14 points. You're going to need a little something.
I hear you. I just think that's too low. I still believe in Manoah's talent. The strikeouts and the innings, you're right.
No, I understand. I do too. But when I'm putting two or three names down, he's not one of them. And this is in a situation where you need to be cute and avoid the rostership and, you know, and be different, be contrarian. That's DFS. You do not need to be contrarian. You're playing against yourself. You know, and you're playing against the VIG. You're not playing against an opponent.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I hear what you're saying there. Yep. I just, yeah, with a guy like that, it's hard for me to.
All I'm saying is just don't bet the farm. Don't put your car on it.
Yeah, that's a
couple of shekels is fine.
That's generally the right way to go. So I'm going to go the over on Manoa. Then I'm going to take the under on Mitch Keller. So Mitch Keller's got his over under is 17.06. I mean, that's – look, I know he's at home against the Reds, but I think the Reds can get to Mitch Keller. I'm All usually right. a Reds pessimist, but here I'm kind of fading Mitch Keller and what he's done so far.
All right, you know what I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put another one in. I'm going to put the over on Keller and the under on Manoa. How's that?
So you're doing the opposite of
what I'm doing? I don't believe in the under on Manoa, but I actually had Keller in my initial three over.
So you're just fading my analysis.
No, I'm not, because fading, here I go. Here's Ola being very particular again. Fading means avoiding for a strategic reason. And not because you disagree. You fade a player to get out of the high owner, high rostership. You fade a team in a survivor pool because a lot of the other people in the pool are choosing that team. You don't fade because you don't like the player. Now, this is very particular. And at this point, fade has become a void. And, you know, I just have to deal with it and understand it and not get all PO'd about it. But from a technical point of view, and there's a lot of words that are like this, that's just regress and other words that have just earned other meanings. And at this point, just have to accept it, Zola. So do it.
Well, after that aside, I'll just say that I was looking for J.D. Davis because I wanted to give a little bonus and say him against Joey Lucchesi, I would take the over. But he's actually not on the slate as an option on the fantasy book. So I will stick with my two picks as the over on Alec Manoa and the under on Mitch Keller. But it sounds like Todd is
on the other
side of the fence on both.
I'm not going to touch Manoa, but I do like Keller. Maybe I'll just use Keller in DFS. Who knows?
And your two picks for rival tonight were Julio Urias and Nola, right?
Yeah, you know what? I am going to do a Keller just because if Urias does have a bad afternoon, I want to have something to root for tonight. So I'll probably go Nola and Keller tonight.
I'm hoping for a big night from some of the lefty bats against Keller, like Jake Fraley maybe. Maybe we can get Fraley going.
I still – and this isn't all anti-Cincinnati – I still like the combo slider cutter combo. How come we can say sweeper, but we can't say the word for the combination of the slider and the cutter?
Sounds a little explicit.
I may or may not have written about that in my Todd Stakes. That'll be up a little bit later.
Well, guys, check out Rival, and we're going to be talking about it a lot on the Friday show. We'll tell you a little bit more about it right now. A new MLB season means it's time for a new kind of daily fantasy baseball. Rival Fantasy is the fantasy platform reinventing the way daily and weekly games are played. And they've brought new games to the ballpark this year that fantasy players won't find anywhere else. Rival Fantasy's games include Fantasy Bingo, Head-to-Head Player Challenges, and Fantasy Book, where users can select over-unders for 2 to 5 players. With games like this, daily fantasy has never been better. Right now, RotoWire listeners can get a $50 protected first play. That means if you win your first play, you keep your winnings. But if you lose your entry, Rival Fantasy will fully refund you up to $50. Go to play.rivalfantasy.com/signup and use code RotoWireMLB at signup and deposit a minimum of $25 to get your first entry on Rival protected up to $50. Now's the time to step up to the plate and become a rival today. Welcome to the arena. Also, a word from Vivid Seats. Baseball is back. Swing into the MLB season with Vivid Seats and score tickets to all of the hottest matchups and biggest games of the year. Every crack of the bat, every deep center fly, and every heart-pounding double play from your favorite team, live and in person. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, now you can earn rewards with every single purchase. Each ticket you buy gets you closer to your reward. Just buy 10 tickets, then simply cash in your credit toward your 11th ticket purchase. It's that easy. And here's a pro reward tip. Buy your tickets for your whole group, split the bill, and make progress toward your free 11th ticket even faster. From behind the plate to the upper deck, Vivid Seats has great tickets for all of the 2023 games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. All right, Todd, let's get into our two start pitchers for next week. And at the very top of the list, we have a big question mark because the Arizona Diamondbacks DFA'd Madison Bumgarner. Right now we have Tommy Henry in, and he is expected to get that nod, but Brandon Pfaadt not too off. So I guess in the immediate term, there isn't a lot of uncertainty. It will be Henry, well, but don't know if he's going to make that second one, I guess.
Yeah, and it, you kind of alluded to it. It's because Henry's schedule lines up on Monday. There, you know, they have an, Arizona has an off day on Thursday. You, whatever they want to do with Brandon Pfaadt. In the meantime, they could line it up so that Pfaadt joins the rotation, perhaps even this week. So, right. So, I mean, because the second game's at Colorado, that just takes Henry out of the two-start conversation regardless.
Yeah, so zero on Henry, and we'll just keep tabs on Brandon Pfaadt. I think he had a really good outing yesterday, but yeah, just doesn't line up to take the ball Monday. But if, you know, if Henry stumbles, they could maybe shuffle some things around and
yeah, easily
get Pfaadt in there.
Yep.
So Henry zero. Then for Atlanta, Spencer Strider, that's an easy five. I mean, he's been
– yep.
Is he struck out like nine in a row dating back to – or at least nine – in each outing dating back to last year, some crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it?
Stat.
It is.
Yeah, crazy. He's awesome.
Yeah.
So Spencer Strider's a five. And then what about Charlie Morton versus Miami at the Mets? Same two step as Strider. You know, my first thought was four, but with these matchups, Charlie Morton might be back to five.
I think he needs, yeah, I like the four. I'm starting him. We talked about him on the Sirius show that we just did. James asked me about Morton. Two of the past two seasons, he started slow and picked it up. Doesn't mean he'll do it. Again, he's 39. But, yeah, especially gained a little confidence with Miami. Then at the Mets, a place he's pitched a lot. He's used to the park. I'm going to give him a four, but it wouldn't shock me if he has a couple of good games.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4-2, but that's a pretty high-end four. That's a pretty nice one.
Okay.
For Baltimore, Dean Kramer, he struggled. I saw he's picked up in one league, but I couldn't do it. I'm actually going to go zero on Kramer. And then Kyle Bradish had a nice return from the IL. He was hit in his debut, I think for a comebacker off the foot, had a foot contusion, but he came back and threw 92 pitches in his return, six strikeouts, only one walk. So a nice little return there for Bradish after the injury versus Boston at Detroit. I'm not going to roll the chance or roll the dice on Kramer, but I think Bradish is like a mid-ground three.
I actually happened to watch Kramer last outing, and this may have been while you were cavorting with your buddies. Six innings, six and two-thirds innings, six strikeouts, no walks against the Nationals. Now it's the Nationals, but it still counts. So I think, and he was throwing BBs. I'm going to give Kramer a one. I don't love the at Boston start, but I am going to give him a one. It's going to be on a draft championship team where I'm hurting for pitching. I'm not picking him up. But Bradish, well, it's actually home. It's not at Boston. It's home. Bradish, man. I'm going to go three. Where were you with Bradish?
Yep, I went 3-2.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go three. And he's one of those guys I just get out of my thick head that he's better than he was when he first came up.
And Chris Sale had a nice little bounce back effort finally. Three rough starts to the beginning of the year, but then 11 Ks, and the Ks were there all along. And, you know, if you drafted as much Chris Sale as I did, you needed a little glimmer of hope there. And he provided it at Baltimore versus Cleveland. If it doesn't work out here, then I'll start to get real, real nervous. I think I'm going to go four.
I'm going to go
four. Wish casting a little bit.
I'm going to go four. And I don't know if it's wish casting. I think if you had said five, I would have said, you know, he needs to earn a five.
Yeah, not a five.
A four. So I think four is about right. Cleveland's tough, right? I mean, we know they don't strike out and they grind. So they could get they're the kind of team that can get to a Chris Sale putting the ball in play. But even so, I'm going to go with a four.
How about the start for Justin Steele? 3-0. 1.44 ERA. Do you have Steele in your life, Ton?
I know I have him in underdog. I don't recall how much I have him elsewhere, but you know I drafted a lot of underdogs, so that's a major part of my portfolio this year. And I've lost some players in underdog, so I need all the help I can get. So I San Diego's tough. They got some new kid back in right field, who almost collided with Hassan Kim yesterday. A very ugly collision, near collision, Tatis and Kim. Hopefully they iron that out going forward as far as short pop-ups and stuff. Tatis ran a long way. And, I mean, Kim was calling, but, you know, the outfielder has precedent, blah, blah, blah. They avoided the collision, but, man, I hope they iron that out.
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's something that we've all know has been coming, but yeah, getting a little guy by the name of Fernando Tatis Jr. is just a no small footnote for that Padres.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go. It's at Chicago. I mean, it's probably a three, but I think you could go four if you wanted to because it's at home, and it's still a little bit temperate in Chicago.
I hear you. I'm going to go 3-2. It does feel like that San Diego could be a regression day at the park for Steele, but still think if you've got him and you've capitalized so far, I mean, do you really have a better option than Steele?
He's using him, but yeah, what are we expecting for results? I'm gonna go four. It's a low four, but maybe it'll be a little different. I'll go four.
Nick Lodolo took a little bit of a step back in his most recent outing, and actually his ERA as a result ballooned close to five. But
yeah,
I mean he's looked great for the vast majority of the season versus Texas at Oakland. You don't love the home start, but I mean that's a really nice two step for Lodolo. Yeah, he's not quite five status, but he's a rock solid four for me.
I'll agree. He doesn't have two starts, but I assume. You're not like sprinting to the waiver wire to pick up Luke Weaver?
No. He did not look too good.
To be fair, he looked good in his first outing.
Not so much in the second one.
I thought he looked good in his last outing. Maybe I missed.
Maybe it was. Oh yeah, it was six innings. He just struggled at the very start.
Okay, maybe that's
gave up a couple homers, but he did fan eight over six innings.
Yeah,
not a total disaster for Weaver. And not a guy I'm going to be rushing out to pick up, though, by any means. By the way, I'm hoping the Reds are able to get Lodolo wrapped up to a long-term deal like they were able to do with Hunter Green.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
For Cleveland, Cal Quantrill. This is all very tentative, of course, but Cal Quantrill at home against Colorado, then at Boston. Just not enough bat-missing ability for me to feel really good, but maybe a two? Is that high? Feels high off the tongue.
You can make an argument that it's low, because he gets by without the bat missing, but as we like to say, you do that until you don't. So at Boston, I don't love Colorado. It's nice. Yeah, you know what? Even if it's just Colorado, I'm not sure I'm starting him. So I say you start him and hope you don't get the second, but. I'm going to go with two as well. I just I have a little bit of trust because it's Cleveland, but money where my mouth is, not so much.
We've got Connor Pilkington and Peyton Battenfield in the projected starters for them next week. Come on, let's get BB and – or not BB, Bybee, apparently Bybee. It's pronounced. Bybee. Let's get Bybee and Kevin Williams in there. Come on, Cleveland. Stop messing around. Now, if we could go into negatives here, I think I'd give Austin Gomber a negative. That Nolan Arenado trade's just looking worse and worse with each passing week. And Gomber's 0-4 with a 12-12 ERA. I don't see any situation where you consider throwing him out there.
No, actually, I was looking up Cody Morris to see where he is in the situation with Cleveland. He's still hurt.
That's right.
Yeah, but he'll be in the equation a little bit later. Yeah, Gomber for a while was actually pitching well last year. I know he was Gombered, but after he was Gombered, he pitched really well. Yeah, not so much this year. I'm with you. I'm, you know, zeros as low as we're legally allowed to go. So that's where I'm at.
Tough two-step for the White Sox pitchers. Not only do they have to go at Toronto, then they have to host the Tampa Bay Rays. So for Giolito and Mike Clevinger, pretty tough. I know Clevinger's been better in terms of run prevention so far. I still think I'll have Giolito as a little higher. I think I'll go Giolito 4, Clevinger 3. No. Giolito 3, Clevinger 2.
That's where I'm at. The opponents are just rough there.
Yeah.
I'm at a 3 and a 2.
Opponents are really rough there. What about for Detroit? Eduardo Rodriguez, Spencer Turnbull at Milwaukee versus Baltimore. Not the worst two-step I've ever seen, but Turnbull, I need to see more post-Tommy John before I trust him. So he's a 0. But Erod, I think I'd put him on the Clevinger tier as like a 2.
I'm going to go 2 and a 1. And I agree that we do need to see more out of Turnbull. But I think we've seen enough that it's worthy of a 1. I think if he's kind of like a 3 max, we're not there yet. But I think we've seen enough that we give him a non-zero number.
All right. Well, let's pause briefly. We'll get back to these two-star pitchers for next week after this brief word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back on the show. Clay Lincoln, Todd Zola here on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, grading all of next week's two-star pitchers on a 0 to 5 scale. Here's a guy who's been a little frustrating for me. He's been a little up and down. Jose Urquidy. He gets at Tampa Bay, then at home against Philadelphia. I'm starting him, but again, it's kind of been a little disappointing so far. I'm going to go four, but I think maybe if I were being more objective about it, it might be closer to a three, and maybe a little wish casting with the four.
Maybe a little. I'm going to go three, but it's more about, I don't think he gets crushed in either game, but I don't know he throws quality starts either. So that's kind of three-ish.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about for the Royals about how they lost Bubich, but Brad Keller's been pitching okay, and Brady Singer not so much. But would you trust Brad Keller at Arizona, at Minnesota?
I was going to say, I'm kind of on the Keller bandwagon, and I'm like a little disappointed. So the fact that he's actually pitching okay, I should probably be kind of happy about it at this point. Or maybe, you know, it's just the 18 strikeouts, 13 walks. Don't love that. But only one home run is keeping the damage down. So I am starting Keller. I think the control gets more into play. Now, Singer, I'm disappointed. There's always one pitcher every year that I'm, like, really high on, and he's in all my lineups. And I probably should have played the wait-and-see game before I trusted him as much as I do. This year, right now, at least, it's Singer. I'm still hoping he can come down. And he's a guy I'm not benching until he pitches well, because I don't want to miss when he does pitch well. And I think it could be this week at Arizona and at Minnesota.
So
number-wise, I'm going to go a four. But I think, whereas you maybe wish-cast with Urquidy, I'm probably wish-casting with Singer.
Wait, you're going four on Singer?
Yeah, I mean, I had him going to the end of the season in that range, so I'm not backing off. Maybe I should bring it to a three, but that's my confidence level that he will figure it out.
Well, for just next week only, I'm a little bit more confident in Keller. So I got Keller as a two and Singer as a one, but you got Singer as a four. And what about Keller?
I'm gonna go three.
Okay. A little different. Yeah, differing opinions on the Royals.
I was high on Singer. Add in the whole narrative about pitching coach coming from Cleveland. You know, again, maybe I overdid that element of it. We'll find out. But that's interesting. So actually, Singer comes up on Tuesday night, which is our tout daily night. Maybe I'll have to put my money where my mouth is and use them until daily.
For the Angels, Jose Suarez, you like the first half of the two-step versus Oakland, but the guy's got a 9.26 ERA. I wouldn't even have him on a waterfall, actually. So this is a zero on Jose Suarez.
Milwaukee's a little over their heads, but I agree.
By the way, for the Dodgers, they placed Michael Grove on the injured list today. Could see Gavin Stone next week. We'll have to wait and see, but either way, it wouldn't be him lining up for two. It would be Noah Syndergaard at Pittsburgh versus St. Louis. The guy's 0-3. But, man, if there's ever a spot to get back on track, you think it'd be here. Road against Pitt, home against St. Louis. I think I can only give Syndergaard like a I feel like two sounds high, but I'll go two, hoping that he gets on track here.
Forget who was matched up with last time. It was an interesting matchup. But he was actually out pitching whoever it was, and it'll come to me. It was against the Mets. Was that the Scherzer? Was that the Scherzer?
Maybe,
game?
Yeah.
That may have been the Scherzer game that he ate the 19th. Yeah, I think that's the day that Scherzer got tossed. You know what? Syndergaard's got two straight six inning of performances. First was six innings. Three quality starts. Arizona got to him. I am going to reluctantly say three. I think he might be figuring out how to pitch and not just be Thor.
Yeah, that's taking an adjustment period for him. Maybe he can make it work.
I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, we kind of, I don't say we joked. I mean, we alluded to how hard they're starting. They will come back. but it may not be as much of a pushover as maybe we think. Yeah, St. Louis's lineup isn't bad. It's at home. So I'm going to stick with the three.
For Miami, we have Brian Hoying in there to replace Trevor Rogers. We'll have to wait and see if that's the case. But he would get to – I would go zero on Hoying. But Edward Cabrera at Atlanta versus the Cubs. Oh, man, the guy's just so volatile with that control he has. So I think I'll go two on Cabrera, zero on Hoying.
He's another guy I really like, but at this time I was smart enough to just stash Cabrera and not blow up my ratios until he proves it. Is this the week I put him in? Atlanta's so tough. I'm probably going to go one on Cabrera. I'm not there yet. And Hoying is just a guess. Again, with Rogers, yeah. I mean, there's a few different directions Miami can go.
The guy picked up in the stake league. Colin Ray for the Milwaukee Brewers, R-E-A, the last name is spelling there. He'd be versus Detroit versus the Angels. I'll tell you this right now, I'm going to have him on a couple waterfalls just because I like the two-step, and he's been pitching pretty well.
Yeah.
Maybe kind of fluky, but I think I'll go two here. I think I'd have him like in that Syndergaard Cabrera mix.
Yep, no, I agree. And my bid is going to be, I think you kind of said by alluding to it, in the waterfall. I hope I get, I mean, it's one of those Fred Zinke that he talks about with Jeff, keep him honest bids where you don't want a guy to get him for one, but you don't want to bid enough that if someone wants him like the whole, you know, you don't want to bid triple digits. That's a whole season bid. You know, if I bid 17 and get him for this two start, I'm happy. That sort of thing.
Absolutely. For Minnesota, Joe Ryan, I think he's gotten into the five territories. Undefeated so far. He does have to face the Yankees at home, but then Kansas City at home. So Joe Ryan, I believe, is my second five of the week behind Spencer Strider.
Yeah, I'll be with you there. And Maeda, is that question mark? Wasn't he hitting the foot yesterday?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So yeah. He's had what, fatigue issues, and now this comebacker.
Yeah.
It's been a rough start. X-rays were clean on the ankle.
Right, and he threw the guy. Who was it? He threw him out, 100 mile an hour off the ankle. Threw him out, and it was the Red Sox game. I should remember who hit the ball, but yeah, they was taken out, and then Emilio Pagan, take one for the team, buddy. You know, came in and gave up the six runs just because he had to give him a little bit of length. The Twins yesterday. But, yeah, Maeda right now is questionable to start that game.
God, Emilio Pagan has just fallen off so hard. Decent closer for a year or two, but he just cannot keep the ball in the park to save his life. Kodai Senga, I've been pretty impressed with what he's done so far. Not quite a five, especially because he has to face Atlanta at home in the second half of the two-step. But you love the home matchup against Washington, so Senga's kind of bordering on five, and he's a four for me this week.
Yeah, there. You know, you go to Twitter, you see the Pitching Ninja, that ghost changeup. They're showing the gifs of it.
Yeah, the ghost forkball.
The ghost forkball. Is he a five yet? I'm gonna go four.
By the way, what was your grade on Maeda? Because I didn't write that down.
I'm gonna go two. But people should, you know, keep, you know, check to see that he makes a start.
All right, I'm going to go one just because I have him, and I'm probably going to either drop him or.
Yeah, no, it makes. Look elsewhere. Me, at the KC start, that's or home against KC, that's enticing.
Now, Nestor Cortez, after, you know, being slow played a bit in the spring, has been great. He hasn't really missed a beat. 3.09 ERA, 3-0 record at Minnesota, at Texas. I think Cortez is going to be a five for me. Johnny Brito, quite a bit lower, though. Brought back down to earth. So I'm going to go Brito like a one. But I think I'll go to five on Cortez.
Yeah, he kind of battled through his start yesterday, Cortez. You know, he threw the six and six plus maybe. But, you know, it was a little bit of a battle. But you like to see that out of your guys when they don't maybe have their sharpest stuff. One, and I don't know that I'm five on Cortez. I'm going to go four. Two away games. I'm going to go four.
Okay, I got you down as a four, and we will recap these grades here shortly once we get through the end of the list. Ken Waldichuk, he of a 7.65 ERA against the Angels on the road, then at home against the Reds. I can't do it. We're going to be a zero.
Yeah, I mean, dynasty stash, but ain't touching him until he shows that he can keep the ball anywhere near the plate.
Yeah, he's got to show something here. Now, here's a this one I was going to say kind of tricky, but it's not really tricky. Bailey Falter's got to be a zero, right? Because he's going to Houston at the back half of that two-step.
Yeah, but I mean, the reason you kind of started a bit is because he's actually pitching pretty well.
It's okay, yeah. He's 0-3, but he's okay.
Yeah, it was worth thinking about. It's a matchup play, and these just aren't the matchups. You know what, though? I'm going to go one. I'm going to go one with Falter. Yeah, I am going to give him a one. Again, it's more of a draft champions. I have him on my roster anyway. I'll start him call than it is pick him up.
Yoan Oviedo of the Pirates had kind of a statement outing this week. Goes into Coors Field, goes six innings, strikes out six, only one earned run allowed, three hits. So that's, I don't think many people turned him loose in Coors, but this is one where I think going forward you feel a little bit more confident about him. Now he does have to face the Dodgers at home, then at Washington. A little scared of some give back after the, a little bit of a hangover after the Coors start, but I think I'll go two on Oviedo.
Yeah, I think the Coors start brought you back to wherever you were coming into the season. With some people, it's pretty high. Some people, was proven to me, kind of wipes out the initial start of the year where Boston hit him pretty good. Three homers. He hasn't given up a homer since. Am I at the point yet where I'm willing to forgive? 6 2/3, 7-6. Yeah, I'm willing to forgive. I'm with you on the two.
Nice. And then two off days next week for the Padres, so they don't have any two-start pitchers for next week. Seattle's got Logan Gilbert lined up for two at Philadelphia, at Toronto. Some really tough parks to pitch in and some no easy offenses to navigate, although Philly is dealing with injuries. This is a tough one. I think I'm going to go four because I just don't really see how I could bench Logan Gilbert. Not a five, though.
To me, he's a five pitcher. Does this warrant dropping him down to a four? I don't think so. 7-6, 7-8 strikeouts, only four walks. I'm gonna stick with it. May be a low end five, but I'm gonna stick with a five.
Gotcha. Then Alex Cobb pitching pretty well for the Giants. He'd be versus St. Louis at San Diego. Not a five, but I like the parks. I think I want to skew on the low end to go three, but I mean, Cobb is a four pitcher.
I am also going to go three, although, I'm going to go three. I don't know that he's going deep enough into games yet to count on the innings and strikeouts in most scoring. So, he had a 7-8 outing in Kansas City, but 3 2/3, 3 2/3, and then five in his latest one. So that scares me a little bit. So I'm gonna keep it a little bit lower.
Jordan Montgomery gets the Giants in San Francisco, then the Dodgers in LA. So a little West Coast road trip for the Cardinals coming up this week. And Montgomery is tough. I like the San Francisco start. And I think he's better than he's shown so far, but I think I'm only going to give him a two. He's a notch below Cobb, so yeah, I'll go two.
I'm going to go higher. I'm just deciding how much higher. 25 hits and 22 1/3. I think he's getting a little bit of batted ball, bad luck, only one homer allowed. It's not quite a four. I'm going to go three.
On Montgomery, you're going three.
I'm going three. Yeah, I can't give him a four yet. The matchups are too good to not give him. Yeah, but I mean, the away And the Dodgers and the Giants are both somewhat dangerous. Dodgers even more so. So I can't go four. I'm going to go three.
Taj Bradley will face a tough test here. Start next week. Home against Houston. Same for Drew Rasmussen. Then to end the week there at the White Sox. So versus Houston at the White Sox. For Drew Rasmussen, he's actually like gotten into the five territory for me. He's with his stuff, he just looks like he's turned the corner. And I actually have him as my ace, de facto ace in the main event. I'm actually okay with it. Obviously, I wish I'd have more starting pitching, but I actually think Rasmussen could be like a fantasy ace the rest of the way. So I'm going to go five. Taj Bradley, I need to see a little more. The matchup scares me, but he's a three. He's a guy that I think you're starting.
I think Rasmussen will get to that ace level. Last two starts, 4 1/3 and 5. Given was at Toronto and at Cincinnati.
Looked great against the Reds, though. I mean,
I think the pitch count was at 78. Maybe he could have gone another inning. I don't know. And they're just being a little safe. But I'm going to go 4 and 2. I'm not quite 5 with Rasmussen. I probably should be. I wish I'd seen more than 9 combined, 9 1/3 over the past two games.
That's a fair point.
I want my number 5. Yeah. I want number 5 to have a confident, I'm somewhat confident he'll go 6. And I'm
That's
just,
fair. That's
I'm just
fair.
Not.
What about for Texas? Nathan Eovaldi and Martin Perez at Cincinnati versus New York. You know, if it were home against Cincinnati, it'd be a little different for me. But Eovaldi's got an ERA north of 5. I could see it in a certain situation, but I think Eovaldi's a 1 for me. And then for Martin Perez, I think you're playing with fire here, but I think he's probably a 1 as well.
But Eovaldi, when he was with the Red Sox, always crushed the Yankees, Clay. Don't you know that? Aren't you aware?
Oh, so he owns the Yankees, huh?
Yeah, they're his daddy. He's the Yankees' daddy. I still think he's a little bit better. I'm going to go 2 for both.
Okay.
You know, Perez could be a -2, but he also could be a 5. That's just what he is.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He's so volatile. Maybe the most volatile starting pitcher in the game, just given all the contact.
But as long as he's keeping it in the yard again, and if he keeps it in the yard, he'll minimize damage. And even I think he is. I probably should double check before I foot and mouth disease here. 4 homers in. Maybe he's not keeping it in the yard. Never mind.
Only 11 homers all of last year and 196 1/3.
Yeah,
games. Yeah. Those are starting to tick up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got 2 for both of those guys.
Yeah. And now it's a reluctant 2-1 Perez, but I'm going to stick with it.
Chris Bassitt seems to maybe be getting on track. He's versus the White Sox versus Seattle. I'm tempted to go 4 here. I just feel like he's better than he's shown so far.
Yeah.
I'll go 4 on
Bassitt. Yeah. I think I don't want to call it lazy, but I think the conventional analysis is he's going to get hurt. He was going to get hurt pitching in Toronto, etc. I don't know. 3 of his 4 games have been on the road. The last was in Houston for 6 1/3. Previous that was the Angels. And he walked 5. I'm going to go 4 as well, and I think we'll see. I'm not worried about pitching in Toronto.
Well, the last one on the list, and man, we have a lot to recap at the end of this. Josiah Gray. He's got a 3.74 ERA, respectable for sure, but 0-4 record at the Mets versus Pitt. I'll give him a 1.
I'm going
to so much going against him.
I'm going to give him a tiny vote of confidence and say 2, because I think Pitt isn't as good as they've shown. And man, he could throw 2 gems or he can get knocked out of the second inning. You can say that about everybody, but you can really say it about Josiah Gray. I'm going to stick with a 2. Yeah, I said it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, great stuff today. We will recap all of these grades here right now.
Yeah,
so
quick before I change my mind.
Tommy Henry. We'll see if, well, they are saying it's him. So Tommy Henry filling in for Bumgardner. I'm going to go zero and same with Todd on Tommy Henry. Then Spencer Strider, 5. Charlie Morton, 4. Dean Kramer, I say 0. Todd, 1. Kyle Bradish, 3. Chris Sale, 4. Justin Steele, I say 3. Todd, 4. Nick Lodolo, 4. Go Reds. Cal Quantrill, 2. Austin Gomber, 0. Lucas Giolito, 3. Mike Clevenger, 2. Erod, Eduardo Rodriguez, 2. Spencer Turnbull, I say 0. Todd, 1. Jose Urquidy, I'm wish casting a 4. Todd, 3. Brad Keller, I say 2. Todd, 3. Brady Singer, I say 1. Todd, 4. Mm-hmm. Jose Suarez, 0. Noah Syndergaard, I say 2. Todd, 3. Edward Cabrera, I say 2. Todd, 1. Brian Hoying, 0. Colin Ray, 2. Joe Ryan, 5. Kenta Maeda, I say 1. Todd, 2. Cody Sanga, I say, well, we both say 4. Nestor Cortez, I say 5. Todd, 4. Johnny Brito, 1. Ken Waldichuk, 0. Bailey Falter, I say 0. Todd, 1. Johan Oviedo, 2. Logan Gilbert, I say 4. Todd, 5. Alex Cobb, 3. Jordan Montgomery, I say 2, Todd, 3. Drew Rasmussen, I say 5, Todd, 4. Taj Bradley, I say 3, Todd, 2. Nathan Eovaldi, I say 1, Todd, 2. Martin Perez, I say 1, Todd, 2. Chris Bassett, 4. Josiah Gray, I say 1, Todd, 2. Busy week for two-star pitchers. Sounds like people will have to check your weekly pitcher rankings closer to first pitch on Monday to really get their pitching slots set.
Yeah, we'll post it tomorrow as usual, and then we'll see how it shakes out over the weekend. I didn't hear a lot of stars, but I don't know how many, you know, this is the Jeff Zimmerman's thing. I don't know how many are going to be picked up in a 15-teamer either. I think you're streaming from your reserves now, and we'll see. Hope you have them.
Yeah, a lot of guys getting torched, so hopefully you have some decent pitchers on your bench. You don't have to go digging at the very bottom of the barrel. Well, great stuff, Todd. It was a fun talk a little rival fantasy with you, too. We're going to be doing that every Friday and be playing a little bit, too. So anything else on your mind today, Todd?
I think with the rival, I think there's a head-to-head. Maybe we'll have to – I think that's why they call it rival. We may have to once they're both in a little more comfortable with it, we may have to match up on a Friday. We'll have to see how that.
Yeah,
see how
we might have to get out a new like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant type of rival.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Real rival,
Lex Luger, Yokozuna. Anyway,
that was a good one.
See, I remember the old days. Anyway, no, you know, just everybody enjoy the ball. Hopefully, no one gets caught for sticky stuff, and we'll check you out next week.
Yeah, don't get caught with sticky stuff on 420 weekend. That could be dangerous. All right, guys, thank you so much. We are sponsored by Rival Fantasy and Vivid Seats. We appreciate their sponsorship, and we appreciate you joining us. Hope you'll do it next week on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.